Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad that you've joined us today. And if somebody were to ask you to boil Christianity down to one basic point, to one basic tenet, what would you boil it down to? The teachings of Jesus, the parables of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, the Bible, the cross. What would you boil it down to? What one truth makes biblical Christianity different from every other ism and ology in the world? Well, we're going to talk about that today as we continue our study in the book of Acts. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, open our hearts and guide us as we study the Bible today. And Father, anoint me as I teach the Bible today. Change our lives because of what we hear today. And Father, continue to be merciful to all the parties in the Middle East today. I now pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okie dokie. Well, thank you so much for listening today. We are studying in the book of Acts, and we're going to answer that question I just asked you by the time we're done today. So stick around and let's get into it. New King James Version of the Bible. New Testament. And what do we study at Lon Solomon Ministries? Come on, the Bible. Come on, the whole Bible. Come on, nothing but the Bible. And then we apply it to our life. And that's what we're going to do today. So, are you ready? Okay, here we go. Now, here in Acts chapter 5, the apostles have been back at it again. They've been out preaching and teaching all around Jerusalem, in the temple courts, everywhere. And the rabbis, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the scribes, had commanded them not to do this. They had imprisoned them even for doing this, although they've turned them loose now. And so a confrontation here is brewing, which we're about to see in Acts chapter 5. So, are you ready? Here we go. We're going to pick up in verse 12. And by the hand of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. This is one of the outer courts of the temple proper. But none of the rest of the population of Jerusalem dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. This is what happens when we live authentic Christian lives like these people were doing. We earn the esteem of people watching. And the converse is true as well. And how sad it is that we as the modern church are far more guilty of the converse when we live inauthentic lives. We lose the esteem of people. How sad it is that that is more characteristic of the modern church today than the former, like here. All right, on we go. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of men and women. How many people were in the early church? Well, we don't know. I asked my good friend David Brickner, who was the executive chairman of the board of Jews for Jesus. Now, he was the executive director for many, many years. I said, David, how many people do you think were in the early church? And He said, well, we don't know, but I think a lot more than the 5,000 people that are recorded in Acts chapter 4. And here, look what the Bible says. The Bible says that the Lord was adding, here in verse 14, increasingly to their number, multitudes of both men and women. So who knows how many Jewish believers there were in that early time of the church. What we do know is that there are more Jewish believers around today than at any time since Acts chapter 5. Whether there's more today than there were in Acts chapter 5, I can't say for sure. Say, how many Jewish believers are around today? Well, that's a good question. It's hard to know for sure because we've never taken a census of Jewish believers. And describing yourself as a Jewish believer is a little bit slippery because of the definition of what is a Jew. According to the Talmud, a Jew is someone who had a Jewish mother. But if you look at the Bible, that's not the Bible's definition. It's someone that had a Jewish father. You say, how do you know that? Well, Rahab, the prostitute that took in the spies there at Jericho in the book of Joshua, she, if you remember, her life was spared when the city of Jericho fell because of what she did. And she actually became part of the lineage of King David, and then, of course, eventually, of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was David's great-great-great-great-great-grandmother. She wasn't Jewish. She was Canaanite. And then what about Ruth? Ruth, that wonderful woman of God, she was not Jewish either. She was a Moabite. And she was the great-great-grandmother of King David and the great-great-great-great-grandmother of the Lord Jesus. My point being, if Jewishness was something passed through the mother, David would not have been considered Jewish, nor would the Lord Jesus himself have been considered Jewish. Obviously, in the Bible, it's the father being related, being the child of a Jewish father, because the great-great-grandfather of David was Boaz, who married Ruth, and the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather of David was the husband of Rahab, who was Jewish. So, anyway, that's what I mean. It's a little squirrely as to who is really a Jew and therefore who is really a Jewish believer. I'm definitely a Jewish believer. My parents were Jewish on both sides. My grandparents were Jewish. My great-grandparents was Jewish. Friends, I'm as Jewish as gefilte fish. Yes, I am. But my three boys, well, according to the Bible, because they're sons of a Jewish man, they would be considered Jewish. According to the rabbinical, the Talmud, their mother was my wife, Brenda, who is not Jewish, and therefore they would not be Jewish. So does James and Justin and John, my three sons, count as Jewish believers? See what I'm saying? But our best guess is somewhere between 60 and 100,000. Jewish believers today. And I'm tempted to say that this is more Jewish believers than even in Acts chapter 5. But my good friend David Brickner, as I said, warned me to be careful because that may not be true. So all I can say with absolute certainty is there are more Jewish believers alive today than at any time since the early years of the church. That I can say. And that's because the coming of the Lord is soon. Yeah. In the 1980s, I went to a conference where the man who was speaking there was Dr. Daniel Fuchs, the former president of the American Board of Missions to the Jews. And I remember I was sitting 3 feet from him when he was standing at the end of the table. And he was talking about the history of Jewish missions in the United States. And he said, when I came to the American Board of Missions to the Jews in the mid-1930s, he said, I believe, listen to this now, that I knew every Jewish believer in the United States and Canada. Wow. Okay, so how many could there be? Not very many if Dr. Fuchs knew them all. 50? 100? Maybe? And then he went on to talk about how the Holy Spirit broke out in 1969, 1970, 1971, 1972 among Jewish people, and thousands began coming to Christ, a process which has not stopped even to this day. I came to Christ in 1971. Most of the senior staff of Jews for Jesus all came to Christ in those 3 or 4 years between 69 and 72. And Dr. Fuchs said, for 40 years I have prayed and asked God for the Holy Spirit to do what is now happening, breaking out among the Jewish people. He said, these were his words. He said, I can close my eyes in peace now that I've seen this. He said, everywhere I go now, I meet Jewish believers. When in the 30s, there were hardly any. Well, he died 2 weeks from the day that he shared that paper. And I've never forgotten the impact. See, when I came to Christ, I thought I was the only Jewish person in the whole world who believed in Jesus. Say, really? Yeah. I thought it went Peter, Paul, James, John, 2,000 years, me. I really did. I'd never heard of a Jewish believer in my life. I'd never met one, never seen one. I mean, there weren't, when I was growing up, there weren't Jewish believers hanging around anywhere. So that's why I really thought I was the only one on the face of the earth. Now, I wasn't, but there weren't a whole lot before I came to Christ in those years. All of a sudden, I mean, when I was at McLean Bible Church, we had between 100 and 200 Jewish believers in one church. One church. There weren't probably that many in all of the United States and Canada in the 1930s when Dr. Fuchs broke in with the American Board of Missions to the Jews. We had that many in one church. Everywhere I go, I meet Jewish believers, just like Dr. Fuchs. It's an amazing thing to see what has happened. And why is this taking place? I believe it's taking place because the coming of the Lord Jesus, his second coming, is drawing near. And this is great proof that it is drawing near. This is why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 11 that there is a callousing on the Jewish people. Not just the blindness spiritually that everybody's born with, the God of this age blinding the minds of the unbelieving, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Not just that, but there's a double whammy on Jewish people, a callousing, Paul says, see, there's the key word, that callousing is not going to last forever. A callousing that makes it very difficult for them to come to Christ, which is why there's been so few over the last 2,000 years. But now he says, Paul does, it's a callousing until when? Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled, and of course the Lord Jesus returns. So when the Lord Jesus and his return get closer, we should expect to see that callousing being removed from the Jewish people, and we should expect to see more Jewish people than ever in the last 2,000 years coming to Christ. And guess what? That is what we are seeing today. So, take heart, my friends. I can't give you a date, but I can tell you the coming of the Lord Jesus again is approaching. Now, you say, Lon, what a wonderful sermon. Okay, well, that wasn't really intended to be the sermon. But I guess I'll stop there because that's a great sermon. And next week, we'll take up my question, what is the distinguishing tenet of biblical Christianity? What above everything else, what is it? So anyway, hey, God, praise the Lord, God the Holy Spirit leads, and this was the sermon for today. So when you see a Jewish person, don't be afraid to share the gospel with them. You might be shocked what happens and how they might come to Christ. But more than anything else, be looking up. Looking up, for the day of our redemption draweth near. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word today. Encourage our hearts today. Thank you that our living Savior is coming back soon. And Lord, we await his coming with anticipation and excitement. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, what? Amen. And what? Amen. Okay. God bless you. Keep looking up. See you next week.